Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Chalet Hotels Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Sethi, MD and CEO, Chalet Hotels Limited. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to exciting times and to the earnings call of Chalet Hotels Limited. We've closed another challenging year with the pandemic. However, we've also witnessed profound resilience of the travel industry. The recovery period post each wave has got shorter and visibility of normalcy is far higher. Barring the impact of geopolitical tensions in Russia-Ukraine war, global travel across Europe, Middle East, Asia has had a smart pickup. India revoked the Disaster Management Act and all accompanying COVID restrictions across the country about a month ago, and COVID cases have been declining, and they continue to be around the 3,000 cases per day for the past 2 months. Some states have reimposed limited restrictions based on local case levels. As an outcome, travel confidence has improved significantly. Domestic airlines witnessed 84% recovery to pre-COVID levels in India. Hospitality sector also witnessed a sharp recovery as per HVS in the month of March. Occupancy span India were between 60 and 62% and ADRs between 5,400 and 5,600 rupees. Amongst the key cities, Mumbai outperformed the overall recovery cycle. Chalet's portfolio also saw a similar trend, with Mumbai leading the way. Pune and Bengaluru were close second, followed by Hyderabad. Recovery for the portfolio started in mid-February and picked up pace in March. This has been driven by strong resurgence of business travel, both domestic and international, and assisted by the IPL games in Mumbai. Let me highlight a few key initiatives of the year which are likely to have significant long-term impact. In the year gone by, Chalet re-strategized asset strategies through quick pivots on the retail segment. We started Bengaluru residential project. We recommenced hotel projects at Powai and at Pune. And we reaffirmed our commitment to a sustainable tomorrow. On the operational front, despite a tepid first 6 weeks of the quarter due to COVID, the company has reported a reasonably good quarter with occupancies of 55% and ADRs of rupees 5429, which are higher by 7% from the preceding quarter. Portfolio occupancies for March were a healthy 68%. In the month of April, Chalet clocked occupancies of 81% against 76% in April of 2019, and RevPAR of 5759, a 93% recovery from April 19. JW Marriott Sahar, Westin Powai, Four Points Vashi, and Novotel Pune reported RevPARs above April 2019 in April. This indicates that the recovery to pre-COVID levels could be much earlier than the previous estimate of H2 of FY23. For the fourth quarter, revenues for the company were at $1.53 billion, a marginal drop from Q3, as the month of January and part of February was a washout for the industry. Hospitality revenues were at 1.26 billion with an EBITDA of 290 million rupees for the quarter. In the retail and annuity segment, the earnings from the operational assets remained steady and continued to support cash flow. At the consolidated level, revenue for the year was 5.27 billion rupees with an EBITDA of 1.14 billion. Closing debt in March was 22.34 billion. Milind will share numbers with finer details later. Conversion of the mall to a commercial space in Bengaluru is on track for a completion in Q3 of this year. Development of the new commercial Taj Powai is as per plan for completion by end of the year. Bengaluru had a slight delay on account of certain supply chain challenges, but we should be done with it in the next quarter. At Powai, we finished the phase one of the renovation of the hotel, and the erstwhile Renaissance was rebranded as Westin Mumbai Powai Lake on March the 1st. We will be starting the phase two of the renovation in June, after the IPL teams check out this year and complete it by end of the financial year. The mock-up room for Novotel is ready for inspection, and we are targeting to complete the additional 88 rooms by Q3 of this year. I'm happy to share that at Koramanga, demolition of the 10th level, up to the 10th level, is complete before schedule, and we have received the NOC from HAL. Process for approvals from BDA and MOEF are underway. Recent recovery in demand dynamics at Hyderabad look conducive for an additional hotel, and we are likely to take a decision on restarting work on the 168-room Westin 2 at Mindspace soon, with a potential opening of the hotel in Q4 of the current financial year. The Airoli Hotel project is still on wait and watch, and we will continue to assess demand dynamics to take a decision on this project. For the next two quarters, we'll be focusing on four key areas. One, capturing the domestic and global rebound, efficient execution of growth projects, rollout of the ESG strategy, and attracting and nurturing talent. Ladies and gentlemen, we're excited about the current business trends and have set internal target of surpassing revenue of EBIT and EBITDA numbers of FY20 in the current year itself. On that happy note, let me now hand over to Milind to walk you through the financials in a little more detail.
Thank you, Sanjay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Reported revenue for the quarter was 1497 million, which was marginally lower than Q3 FY22 due to the resurgence in cases led by Omicron. During the quarter, the company received income tax refund, and we have written off few creditors of 38 million, which is recorded as other income, and we have accounted 18 million under sunk cost towards retail asset repurposing. Adjusted for this, EBITDA was at 331 million as against like-to-like performance in Q3 FY22 of 419 million. Loss after tax for the company was at 115 million, an improvement from loss of 144 million in the sequential quarter of Q3. This was after taking credit for deferred tax asset of 146 million for the quarter. The hospitality segment contributed 82% of the total revenue of the company in Q4 FY22. Occupancy for the quarter averaged at 55%, lower by 5 percentage points sequentially. The ADR for the quarter was higher by 7% at rupees 5429 as against Q3 FY22. As mentioned by Sanjay, in the month of April, the company has clocked ADR of 7140 and occupancy of 81%, highest in the pandemic period. Revenue for hospitality was rupees 1264 million in the quarter, and EBITDA was at 290 million. On the cost front, we continue to maintain lower fixed and variable costs compared to our pre-COVID performance. Fixed cost was lower by around 33% and variable costs were lower by around 52% for financial year 22 as compared to financial year 20. Hospitality payroll cost was 19% of revenue in Q4 as compared to 15% of revenue in financial year FY20. Utility cost as a percentage of revenue was held steady at 9% as against 7% in the financial year FY20. Clearly indicating efficiencies built over last 2 years are at play while business catches up to pre-pandemic level. Steady rental income from operating commercial assets have kept revenue and EBITDA from rental and annuity segment at 216 million and 144 million for the quarter respectively. Net debt of the company from April 21 to March 22 has increased by 3.63 billion, which includes 3.49 billion of capex spend. The operating cash flows were supported by steady rental and annuity business and prudent cost management. The net debt of the company as of March 22 stands at 22.34 billion. The average cost of rupee loan as of March 22 stands at 7.5%, an improvement of approximately 50 basis points since March 21. We have cash and cash equivalent of 1.6 billion as of March 22 and 6.95 billion available lines of credit for general corporate purpose and planned capex. There has been no new subscription from promoters on 0% non-convertible redeemable preference share for funding the outflows relating to residential project during the quarter. The total subscription stands at 1750 million as at March 31, 2022. We are ahead of schedule at this site with the receipt of NOC from HL. The other local development approvals are being processed as we speak. Based on our market assessment, the realization per square feet for this project is expected to be higher than our earlier estimates. With this, we now open the floor to questions.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone.
Diksha, let's start with the questions, please.
Sure, sir. We take the first question from the line of Karan Khanna, Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on an encouraging set of results. So, Sanjay, I had two questions. Firstly, on your recent brand upgradation to Westin at Pawai, any initial comments in terms of the overall perception, market perception, in terms of change in preference or occupancy in ADRs? Also, has this led to any increase in corporate fares for the property?
Karan, thank you for the question. Good to have you here again. Yes, we're seeing a really strong sort of response to the change of brand and the renovation of the hotel in Pawai, and it's done extremely well in the month of April. I think both corporate as well as MICE business has picked up over there. Weddings are going strong, and there seems to be a renewed sort of interest in that property after the brand rechange. So I can confirm to you that the response is very positive. I'm not at the liberty of sharing numbers because we haven't made them public, but it's been very well received.
Sure. And secondly, Sanjay, in the past you've mentioned or you've spoken about looking to enter into the leisure segment at some point. With the recovery now visible, any thoughts here, any incremental thoughts in terms of how you're looking at various markets and what kind of a property will you be looking at?
Karan, two things on this. Number one, over the pandemic, the leisure segment has got created even within the existing hotels that we have, right? That whole staycation model that was created has given us an opportunity to create urban resorts. And I think the Pawai Hotel, which is now Westin Pawai Lake, is a clear example of that. The location has fantastic experience opportunities for leisure travelers. It's drivable distance within the city of Mumbai, and yet an oasis within the city of Mumbai. So that's one. And that's happened with a couple of our hotels also. But coming back to investments in leisure assets, yes, our engagement on some of those opportunities continue. Since we are in conversation, we cannot share exact details. But our intent is to add two or three leisure assets into the portfolio.
Sure. And then finally, on the commercial side, given your portfolio is expected to increase to 3 million square feet, What's your strategy here in terms of segment contribution in revenue and EBITDA once these assets stabilize? And what initiatives would you be taking with respect to building a separate team for leasing, along with update on the leasing momentum across your vacant and near completion assets? That would be my last question. Thank you.
So, Karan, we've already got a team in place that's helping us for the leasing activity. As soon as the facade for the Bangalore asset is up, leasing activity will pick up pace because we're not leasing it till the facade is up. We've got more than enough interest for the whole building as well as part of the buildings there. Mumbai, of course, the leasing activity will start in about a couple of quarters from now. At that point of time, if we need to create a team, we'll do that. But I don't see a need to that because the demand's really high. In terms of revenue, I think we've shared indicative numbers in the past on rentals for these two locations. We expect that we will actually end up higher than those numbers that we shared in the past, and the EBITDA flow through will be 90% plus.
Sure. Okay, thank you, and all the best, Sanjay and team.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on occupancy level in April, which was in the presentation. It was above 80%, increased from 68% in March. Is it largely led by Mumbai, or other cities also witnessed similar trend? I'm talking direction-wise at least. And do we think Q1 would be better than pre-COVID across markets as well? I mean, you have talked about the overall portfolio, but looking across all the markets. That's my first question.
So, as I understood, there were two questions. So you said occupancy in April, we said, is 81%. I think the signs are positive in all the cities. In fact, in my statement earlier, I did mention that a couple of other hotels outside Mumbai have shown similar results. So to give you a sense, we've seen Mumbai, of course, do extremely well on the back of the IPL business also in the city, with the hotels reporting between 80 and 92% occupancies. 4 points, Vashi had actually 98% occupancy. Marriott Bangalore, which was only hovering around the 20% mark earlier, is now hit 56%. And I must point out here, this 56 is in a total inventory of 391 rooms. If you take the 67 rooms of ALC or Accenture Learning Center out, the occupancy is actually 62%. So there's a healthy pickup there too. Western Hyderabad also clocked 77% occupancies. And Pune was again in the 90s. So clearly all hotels have done well. It's not just the Mumbai phenomena, but everyone has picked up. Bangalore is lower than the rest of them, but has had a very healthy and sharp pickup from where it was 2 or 3 months back. Q1, in terms of numbers, I don't want to give any forward-looking numbers at this point. Whether it will be at pre-pandemic numbers or not is yet to be seen. In our estimate, we think the financial year, we should be able to close the whole financial year, as I said in the opening statement, above FY20 numbers, even on a like-to-like basis.
Sure, this is helpful. And the other question I have is, pre-COVID, if we look at those numbers, we were doing a EBITDA of margin of close to 35%. Now, assuming full recovery in FY23 and 24 and considering pent-up demand as well, is it fair to assume that in next 18 to 24 months, we might see margins much better than what it used to be pre-COVID, especially considering a better mix of commercial, reduced employee to room ratio and other cost savings? Or do you think, you know, the current cost escalation around higher wages, power, etc., will keep margins subdued? So I'm not asking for a guidance on margins, just more on a qualitative, what are the puts and takes on margins maybe from 2 years perspective?
Sure. So that's
my
question. Let me answer in this fashion. With revenues hitting pre-pandemic numbers in the current financial year, as I stated earlier, and our fixed costs as well as variable costs well below pre-pandemic numbers. There's no reason why the margins won't improve, but I'm not going to give any guidance at this point on the actual numbers. And you're right, my, you know, as and when the office business comes in, that will again add a further improvement on the margins.
And the impact of maybe higher wages and the other cost, which is, you know, the phenomena now most of the other companies are also facing, that's not going to impact the savings which we are seeing. So
we factored in all the inflation impact in our current forecast for this year, as well as wages. Wages, the increments, etc., that have to be given, have been given. And we see no reason why we won't be able to improve performance. Milind wants to add something on this.
Because on power side, we have long-term power purchase agreements. So we don't expect a major increase under that head. And in fact, one of our property, we have negotiated better rates than last year. So on power side, I mean, the cost will be more or less same as last year, except for the variation on account of occupancy.
So what Milind is saying is that our cost per unit will be below FY20 numbers and similar to what it was last year, in fact, slightly better than last year. With the revenues going up as a percentage, we should do of HLP cost to revenue, we should be better off.
Sure. And finally, is it possible to get the attrition number if, you know, you have, that will be all. Thanks a lot.
So attrition in our industry has always been high. Even pre-pandemic, our attrition rates were in the 40s. We haven't seen any major change from that.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Archana Gure, IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sanjay, I have three questions. Firstly, on the business side, can you guide us some more on the business mix in terms of leisure and corporate for this quarter and full year?
Apologies for that. I put you on mute. Archana, for the quarter that's gone by, in February and March, we saw strong resurgence of business travel coming back. And the transient segment has improved significantly in the mix. And it's actually gone up to now 66% of the revenue in the last quarter came from the transient segment, which is primarily the business travel. And that's for the full quarter. If you were to look at second half of February and March, it'll probably be in the mid to high 70s. So clearly, business travel is the primary driving factor for the occupancies now. And in March, when we did 68% occupancies, we see that being the largest contributor. And in April, we've also seen a strong resurgence of international business travelers coming in. And it's still nowhere near its peak number. It's, in fact, probably halfway there. And in spite of it being only halfway there, our occupancies in April were 81%.
Sure. Sanjay, when we look at the Bangalore market, maybe you can give us more detail, some explanation. Why exactly the Bangalore market are so laggard? I mean, when we compare the rest of the cities, I mean, they're doing pretty well. But, you know, so Bangalore is like a kind of weak market for almost everybody. Is there any structural change that has happened in the last couple of years during this COVID time? What exactly is going wrong with the Bangalore market?
So I think what went wrong was COVID. And now that the COVID impact is going out, the recovery is very sharp, as I mentioned. Bangalore probably had the highest recovery percentage in terms of occupancies and rates for the portfolio. So let me explain Bangalore market to you and the rest of the audience here. Bangalore is divided between three segments, actually, three geographical locations. One is city center, which is continued to do well. Driven by a mix of domestic business travelers for all industries. The other is the electronic city side, which is primarily the hardware side. And the third is where our hotel is located, which is the IT districts of Whitefield and the Outer Ring Road or Shahjahanpur area. Within the Whitefield and Outer Ring Road, the primary business was MNC companies with their BPOs and IT business. ITITS, financial, fintech, etc. So that obviously was slow till now with the opening up of the skies for international travel and a lot more travel happening within the IT industry now. We see that coming back very strongly. See, now they are going to follow the traditional cycles of weekday, weekends that were there in the past as far as business travel is concerned. Weeks where we have holidays, you see occupancies dip. And weeks which are clear, you'll see very, very high occupancy. So that phenomena we started seeing, which is now falling in line with what the pre-pandemic trend was.
Sure, that is pretty helpful. And my last question is to Milind. Can this help us with the capex figures for FY23 and 24?
Our capex for next 2 years will be in the range of 740 crore rupees. Major will be incurred in FY23 of around 540 crore rupees. Again, out of this 540, we'll spend around 400 crores on commercial office building and balance 130-140 crore rupees on hotels.
Sure. Milind, this the amount which we are mentioning in the presentation, 425 crore for the Koramangala project, have you also considered the cost inflation which has happened in last 6 months, or that number is yet to reflect in this number?
We have considered inflation, and we think it may cool down in next year or so. But we have considered impact of commodity price increase.
Sure, that is pretty helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Jeetu Panjabi from EM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Panjab. Thanks. Good to see things coming back. And you know, when you talked about the April occupancies, kind of makes you feel good. So the one question just on the demand side, obviously you can see that there are bookings for the next few months or whatever as you go ahead. And also you can see there's a lot of weddings and other stuff that got pushed out, and a lot of those bookings also must be coming in. So can you kind of just say that this year is going to be a really good year driven by all those pent-up weddings and other stuff besides just business coming back?
Hi, Jeetu. Always a pleasure talking to you. Yes, indeed, I can confirm that this year should be better on two or three counts. One, corporate travel is back with a vengeance. I don't know whether corporate travel has too much of pent-up demand. I think it's more steady demand that's going to happen, and we see that already happening. On the wedding and other events or MICE events, including meetings, dealer meets, etc., there's clearly been a long period of no activity, and I think that's going to come up as pent-up demand that's going to sort of reflect in the hotels. We are not in the wedding season. In spite of that, we are seeing a lot of wedding queries even during this period. So while typically the wedding season would start now after Navaratri in October, November, we are seeing the first half itself getting very, very busy with weddings, at least in Mumbai. So that's a very, very good sign for us that the weaker months of the year will also get the support of weddings now.
Okay, super. Now, second question is just more strategically, as you kind of say that we probably have some really good times over the next year or two. What are you doing from a management standpoint differently? Are you thinking of picking up more properties on a license basis or on a brand basis or whatever? I just love to hear how you're thinking as management of how you want to take the business forward for the next year or two in this period.
So, Jeetu, our strategy for the next couple of years is focused around growth, and the growth is coming in two forms through growth assets. One is our diversification strategy of getting a healthy mix of non-hotel assets in addition to hotel assets. We are an asset-owning company, and we have sort of diversified our risk or mitigated our risk by getting into annuity business. We were already there from some time. We are expanding that portfolio from around a little over 500,000 to 3 million over the next 2.5 years. So that's one. And there is two projects underway, the third yet to start. The two projects are the 750,000 square foot of office building in Powai within the Westin Powai complex. And the second one in Bangalore, which is roughly around 650,000 square foot of a new building plus 300,000 of the mall that's got converted into office. So between these two, we have almost about 1.6 million square foot. And we've got another 750,000 square foot in Powai, which is not yet started. We'd like to see the traction on leasing of the first office building in Powai before we commit to the second building. So far, it looks very, very good. Our leasing team is extremely bullish and confident of us doing the second building, but I'd like to see traction on it. On the hospitality side, we've got two or three things happening. Of course, the rebranding of Powai is a big win for us. Second is the 168-room hotel in Hyderabad, which will be the second Westin, which is half completed. We are now starting work in the next, hoping to start work in the very near future, and have that up and about operational by January of 2023. The third one is the addition of 88 rooms at Pune. The fourth one is the 260-room hotel that we had in Airoli in Navi Mumbai, which is put on hold. We didn't have shovels on the ground on that one. So we'd like to wait and watch on that market before we commit to it. But in addition to that, we do still see a lot of stress assets on the market, and we continue to evaluate them. There are also a couple of new hotel deals that have come in the market. Some of them are bids in various cities, brought in by various semi-government organizations, and we are looking at them very closely. But we do see us growing and adding maybe about 1,000 to 1,500 rooms over the next 4 to 5 years to our current portfolio of 2,500.
Okay, super. And one final question. If we take total net debt as of March 22, what's that number, and what would you ballpark say that same number is going to look like March 23? How's that direction going to move?
Yeah, so Milind is going to come in that, as he said, CapEx plan for this year. That will get added to the current debt. So Milind, maybe you can share the peak debt end of the year.
So Jitu, our net debt as of March 22 is 2234, that is 2,234 crores. And we expect it will peak to 2,600 in FY23, and it will start tapering down.
Okay.
So add to that, within that 2,600 odd crores, most of it is capital work in progress that is yet to yield EBITDA numbers, and the EBITDA potential from these CapEx in progress is extremely high.
Jitu, let me give you one more number. In FY19, post IPO, we were at 1,500 crore rupees. Today, we are at 2,300 crore rupees. We have spent around 450 crore rupees CapEx in last 2 years, and we did acquisition of 300 crore rupees in FY20. So if we add all these, our CapEx is around 750 crore rupees, which is represented by incremental debt.
Okay, super. Super. And if I can ask you one last question, with your permission, is what's not working well, or what's disappointing at this point out of the whole, whatever you do?
Well, that answer to that question could have been pretty clear in my mind about a quarter back. Last 2 months, everything seems to be working in the right direction.
So okay.
We are very pretty bullish now.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. Good wishes and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The participants are requested to restrict their questions to 2 per participant. We take the next question from the line of Amandeep Singh from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Otherwise, most of my questions have been answered. Can you give us some sense on change in ADR for corporate travel versus pre-COVID, given business travel is now coming back in a big way?
Sure, Amandeep. Happy to e-connect with you again. Let me explain this in a little slightly longer explanation. One is we've got to break down the corporate segment into two, domestic and international. So domestic ADRs are same as they were pre-pandemic. International ADRs are almost same as pre-pandemic. However, the mix right now is different than pre-pandemic, weighing more heavily towards domestic. As in one that starts sort of correcting itself into a 50-50 ratio for domestic and international, we expect to be back on ADRs on the corporate side to pre-pandemic. So we think this will happen over the next quarter or two. I think the positive here, Amandeep, is that we expected to hit pre-pandemic overall revenue numbers and cross EBITDA numbers in H2 of this year. I think we're getting very close to it in Q1 itself.
Thanks. That was really helpful. And secondly, one bookkeeping question. Can you just help us with revenue breakup between rooms, F&B and others for the hospitality segment in 4Q?
Certainly. In fact, we have it on the presentation. I can share that with you in a minute. Give me a second, please. Yeah. So, firstly, on a consolidated performance basis, in FY22, hospitality contributed 77% of the revenue. In Q4, it's contributed 82% of the revenue. Then, if you were to come to the hospitality segment, or rather the breakup of the business, you have to give me a minute to get there.
Let me come in.
Yeah, sure.
Quarter 4 FY22, room revenue was 683 million. F&B was 488 million. Other services, 88 million. Total, 1260 million. And for the year, room revenue was 2195 million. F&B revenue was 1565 million. Other services was at 337 million. Total, 4100 million.
So all in all, I think we're back to the ratios that we were there pre-pandemic.
Sure. This is really helpful. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Prateek Podar from Nippon India. Please go ahead.
Sir, just two questions. Sanjay, you talked a bit about staycation, but just wanted to check whether the trends are still sustaining given the sharp increase we have seen in ADRs for your properties, or the mix is changing more towards corporate travel. That's question number one.
Sorry, Prateek, could you just repeat that?
So on staycation, right, yeah, which was a segment which was doing very well for us in FY21-22, whether the trends are sustaining in the month of April, because the ADRs are mean reverted. So I just wanted to check, is there still appetite at these ADRs for staycation? Or that has gone down?
So it's changing towards corporate for sure. Staycation, I think the challenge of staycation now is in the two primary hotels where we used to see a lot of staycations, there is no availability of rooms. So whilst their demand continues to be consistent, the corporate travel has taken up a lot more rooms within our hotels. And the second thing is with the exam season and school season on, as well as people back to offices, we do see the weekday trend going down a little bit. Weekends continues to be very strong.
Got it. And versus pre-COVID, if you were to compare the percentage of staycation, I'm assuming that, you know, during the weekends, you would be running at lower occupancy versus on the weekdays. What's the trend like? Have you seen a higher percentage of staycations versus pre-COVID?
See, there was no staycation business pre-COVID. So this is a new segment that got formed. So anything that comes in is incremental from our perspective. And since the demand seems to be healthy, except for this whole period of schools and exams and all that, we think it'll continue to support the weekend occupancies going forward. So two things are happening. I think on the weekend side, we see staycations and social functions helping us support occupancies during weekends as well as holiday seasons.
So versus pre-COVID, your RevPAR has structurally gone up, right? Because now you have certain occupancies on the weekend versus earlier not being there.
Not yet, Prateek, but it will, because if you look at my opening statement also, I said we had 93% recovery on RevPAR for the month of April. because the rates were still not at par with April 2019. However, the occupancies were very high. So we haven't seen RevPAR go above April 19, but it will at some point of time during this year. In fact, very close from now onwards. Let's see how it pans out. We still need to see ADRs really hit the pre-pandemic levels, numbers in big city hotels across the
industry. And last question, sir, how much was IPL a function of pulling down your ADRs? In the sense, I'm assuming that you would have given certain discounts and you know, this uptick in ADRs has caught everyone by surprise. Is there a pull down because of IPL wherein, you know, your FPAR could have been higher had you not sold a certain part of your inventory for IPL?
So if we had thought that, you know, IPL will drag down the RevPAR bit, we probably wouldn't have taken the IPL. I think IPL has worked well for us. Whilst at Hawaii, the rate for the IPL team is lower than the blended ADR. At JW Sahar, it's actually at par with the blended ADR. So it's not hurting us.
Wow. Great, Sanjay. Thanks for this and all the best for the future.
Thank you so much. We take the next question from the line of Rajiv Bharati from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So with regard to the capex, you mentioned 140 crores on the hotel side, and of which I think 20 to 25 crores towards Snow Hotel, and if I'm not wrong, 750 was the total which is required for the second Westin. So the balance 40 crores is towards, can you reconcile that number?
Rajiv, Milit here. RHI rebranding, 150 rooms are pending and some banquet renovation. So we'll spend around 45 crore rupees on RHI.
RHI, as in, let me explain.
Westin Powai. New Westin Hyderabad, will be spending around 60 crore rupees. And hotel and normal hotels repairs and renovation capex.
And on this RHI, the rebranding thing, has the take rate of Marriott gone up because of this rebranding exercise?
So it's yet to be seen. I mean, so this was rebranded in March, and then we had the IPL team come in. But the corporate segment is paying us much higher rates than they were prior to the pandemic.
So what I wondered was in terms of the agreement, the management contract agreement with Marriott now, has the percentage?
No, percentage has actually come down with the new contract. So when we did the renewal of the contract after the 20 years were over, we were able to negotiate a slightly marginally better deal than before. So our outflow to Marriott will actually be marginally lower than before. At least the percentage revenue, if the revenue is higher, then obviously the absolute amount may be higher.
And so the debt repayment this time around would be close to 180 odd crores this year?
No, debt repayment will be in the range of 300 crore rupees for the year, FY23.
So you said your peak debt would be 2,600 and your capex would be 540 this time around. Current debt is 2,234.
Yeah.
And then there is interest of close to 200, right?
Yeah.
And with regard to the off Saha, you said 50% is off the 0.12 million square. There is a rent-free period in this case, which is operational right now?
So this 50% is already yielding rent.
Okay. That's all. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nihal Jham from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Good morning to the management. A couple of questions from my side. So you mentioned that recovery currently is at around 95%. And if I had to just break up the demand, as like you've been highlighting that foreign travel is still to come back, and correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding was that Chalet used to get approximately 50% of its business coming from FTS pre-COVID. So assuming that number is significantly lower, is it that domestic corporate travel, say at least in the month of April, is significantly higher, which is leading to this kind of occupancy recovery?
Yes, Nihal, your assessment is right. Domestic corporate travel is higher. And as far as the international travel is back, as I mentioned earlier, 50% of the international travel is back. Another 50% is yet to pick up because, you know, the opening of the skies happened very recently for international travel, and there's still some challenges of long-haul flights from U.S. because of the Ukraine-Russia war. So the direct flights are still not coming in. So they have to take connecting flights via Europe or Middle East. So that's not happened. But once that sort of stabilizes, and on a weekly basis, we're seeing growth in foreign travel. So we will come back to pre-COVID numbers on foreign travel in the very near future. And that happens, that combined with the increase in domestic travel, which has come out as very strong. And, you know, that wasn't our strongest point pre-pandemic, but over the last 2 years, we've worked very strong with domestic account in India. And we've been able to now get a very fair, large share of that business into our hotels. And that's helping us.
Just to follow up on that, in your discussion with the accounts, is your sense that
the service at your end?
I'm so sorry. Is it better now?
Go ahead. We'll try and catch most of the questions.
Yes. Just following up on that in your discussion with your accounts, is the sense that there is a lot of pent up element in domestic corporate travel because the assumption obviously was that as things normalize, there will be some amount of room nights that have ideally been lost given, you know, some of the meetings which may be happening virtually. But the trend currently is very different in terms of at least how your numbers are predicted. So what is your sense that going forward in the next 3-4 months, would these kind of room nights from domestic corporates sustain, or there could be some cooling off that you expect to happen?
My belief is that the corporate business individual travel will sustain. The reason being that I don't think this pent-up demand that gets created there because it's been a 2 year of hiatus as far as travel was concerned. So this is sustainable demand. I think where the pent-up impact will come in is on the MICE segment and wedding segment, where there could be a surge for some months and then it will stabilize. So that's my assessment.
That's helpful. Just one last question. You gave a number of 1,000 rooms that you're looking at. We have the visibility, obviously, the Hyderabad and the Pune project. Any sense of which are the cities or green pockets that you may look at expanding into?
So our growth strategy remains consistent as what we have shared in the last few years. We are currently present in Mumbai, Pune, Hyderabad, and Bangalore. In Hyderabad, of course, we're adding one hotel, so that'll be there. In Mumbai, at Navi Mumbai, there could potentially be another hotel, the Hyatt Regency at Airoli. But we'd like to spread our geographical spread as well as portfolio, as well as get into the leisure segment. So the leisure destinations of Goa, maybe the northern hills in India, and the intent to be in the NCR region is very strong.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. We take the next question from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question is regarding the MICE. So can you talk about the pre-pandemic level MICE activity percentage of our business and the current MICE business? And what is the quantum of pent-up demand you can see in the coming quarter? And after a couple of quarters, you see some normalization in the MICE segment?
So Manta, I'm afraid I don't have that number handy right now, but we'd be happy to share that number. But I'm giving a very rough guesstimate here. I think our MICE business in Powai was very high when it was Renaissance. Now with Westin, I see that also remaining high going forward. JW Sahar also, because of the nature of it and size of its banqueting facilities, has always been very strong on MICE business. We think that will remain, continue to be very strong. Overall, I think the ratio of MICE to non-MICE segments will remain consistent with where we were in the pre-pandemic era. You've got to remember that MICE does compromise the ADRs a little bit. So we'll always play the revenue management game to balance out the split between these two segments as we go forward, depending on the time of the year, the up and the down cycles within the travel business and all of that, and make sure that we get optimal results on both of the best of the both.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I can add also that the MICE business may increase marginally at JW Sahar because we now have an access to a very large loan over there, which is available for use.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Sethi for closing comments.
Thank you, Diksha, and thank you, everyone. As I said earlier, we're excited about where we are today, and the future from here on looks strong. We'll obviously put in everything that is available as resources to back the business to ensure that we remain very, very healthy on margins. We will continue to stay focused on the cost side and whatever advantage that we've been able to bring into the business through cost rationalization over the last couple of years will continue to benefit the business as we go forward. Our focus, as I mentioned even in my opening statement, will be to basically ensure that we capture the domestic and global rebound, make sure that we execute our projects, the growth projects, very efficiently, attract and nurture talent, roll out the ESG strategy, and as I mentioned before, keep costs as a strong focus area for us going forward. Thank you all. Stay well.
Thank you. On behalf of Chalet Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.